Welcome to the Exponential Podcast, a podcast about church planning and multiplication. The goal, to help you embed a culture of multiplication so deeply inside your ministry and life that you'd have to try hard not to multiply. And now your host, Todd Wilson.
I am just excited to have Mac Lake with me today. Mac's been a longtime friend, was part of our Becoming Five team at Exponential. Mac works with the North American Mission Board. He's the Senior Director of Development. In that role, he oversees the assessment, training, and coaching of church planters. I don't know of another ministry in America right now that's getting it done like the North American Mission Board is, and Mac sits right at the top of their support system. So Mac comes to us with a vast experience working with churches. He also, I guess you could say in his spare time, which takes up some time, works with a lot of churches to help them intentionally put a leadership pipeline together, and he does that work through Oxano. So Mac, welcome.
It's good to be with you, Todd. Excited.
Well, Mac, as you know from our work, less than 4% of churches, it's estimated, ever reproduce or multiply in America, meaning 96% are kind of stuck in the prevailing scorecards. If you could just talk to us for a minute about your perspective with, you know, experience of North American Mission Board and all the churches you work with, why are we stuck at that 4% number?
Yeah, it's a great question, Todd. That's one of those numbers that just drives me crazy. You know, I have a heart for multiplication and want to see churches multiply. And when I hear that less than 4% multiply, you know, it really helps us see where the state of our country is, because could you imagine if only 4% of US couples were having children and multiplying? You know, our nation would be gone in a generation. And so that's sort of the spirit describes the spiritual landscape of churches today. They're not multiplying. And I think there are several factors. One, I think, is just is fear. You know, there's that fear of if we multiply and we send people out, you know, are we going to be able to remain strong? Are we going to be able to pay the bills? Are we going to be able to staff the children's classrooms? Those sort of things. That fear is there. Another reason, Todd, I think, is lack of awareness. There are some guys who just plant a church and they plant the church just for the sake of planting a church, but they're not planting with the city in mind or the region in mind. And so they're not thinking multiplication at all. And then for some, it's just a lack of kingdom mentality. They just don't see it from a kingdom perspective. I know for me, when I planted in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I had a heart to plant more churches, but just really didn't have the know-how. We did it, but it wasn't because we were super strategic, you know? And so I think for a lot of people, they don't multiply because they just don't know how and don't sense the impact, the positive impact it could have for the church at large.
Well, you know, Mac, sometimes the very things that help churches be successful and get them into a growth orientation and help them add numbers are the same things that hold them back. We've kind of described it like a magnet. You know, there's a magnet that strongly pulls people to that addition scorecard. And then many of the things that got them there, they find hold them back from being able to multiply. What are a couple of those things that you've seen working with churches that kind of fit in that category?
Yeah, I think one of the things is some churches will begin to add programs. They'll begin to add different strategies to begin to expand the growth. And I describe it this way. It's like I've seen churches before, and it's like they're a cruise ship and they're floating around and they go from island to island. You know, and the other islands are other churches, and they're looking at what other churches are doing. They go, oh, look over here. We could do what they're doing at this church. And then they go and look at another church. Oh, look, we could do what they're doing at that church. And it's like this cruise ship that floats around from island to island, and they start loading on animals from the different islands, the animals representing programs. Well, the more programs you add to your own ship, you know, the more animals you add, you got to realize you got to feed them. And then they make messes everywhere. And so next thing you know, your church is loaded with all these programs that you're having to feed and you're having to maintain and you're having to finance. And yeah, it might be attracting some people, but now all of a sudden you're afraid to multiply because you have to feed and maintain the new programs that you've added that you think brought the growth. And I don't think those things are always the things that bring the growth. But once you add them, you got to feed them.
And then I guess using that metaphor, you know, the more animals you're going to pick up, the bigger the boat you got to build. You got to have these facilities and infrastructure that takes time and money. And then you got to have staff that tend to this. So then you kind of get stuck with the best staff running programs as opposed to some of the reproducing things we're talking about.
There's a church I was talking to recently, and they run about 300, and they always run about 300, but they've planted five churches in their area in the past, I would say, you know, 7-8 years. And so they keep peeling off people and sending them out. And therefore, they don't have all these big programs. They don't have a big staff. But boy, they are making a big difference in that city.
And I think what we lose sight of sometimes in that scorecard, if you took the total cumulative attendance of those 5 to 7 churches they've started.
Yeah.
Compared with if they would have just not planted and tried to grow themselves.
Yeah.
My guess is there's a greater attendance at those daughter plants. And then where the real multiplication impact comes, and we have not done a good job of this on the, you know, in the multiplication area, but if we could embed that same DNA in those daughter churches where each of them turned around and in their first several years did the 5 to 7 like you're talking about, that's where the real multiplication impact comes from. And I think we just don't see that scorecard the right way sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's assume that someone's, you know, plugging away, they get the addition scorecard, they kind of get the formula for addition, and they're really wrestling with, you know, whether it's changing their culture or changing their scorecard. And I'm not sure you can change your scorecard without changing your culture, but they want to make a change. And so they've got to kind of get into this change management scenario. Most of the organizations, most of the books out there kind of have the, you know, the elements of where am I, or, you know, how do I get to where I am? Where do I want to be out in the future? And then sort of a strategic plan to close the gap between where I am and where I want to be. You and I have talked a little bit about, you know, the metaphor of ready, aim, fire. Talk to us a little bit about those elements and where churches get in trouble on those three elements.
Yeah, I think probably the first place that they get stuck is the ready. Is the pastor goes to Exponential, reads a book on church planting, gets really, really excited, and so starts talking about church planting. And, hey, we've got to get ready for this. We got to plant another church. Maybe gets the deacons or elders or, you know, governing board excited about it as well. And so then they'll spend a year or two preparing a plan to launch another church. But it's ready, 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 and never and even aiming, but just never firing. I think the other end is the other mistake is sometimes pastors, we get excited about it and we just say fire, fire, fire. And I was talking with a church planting church from Florida not long ago, and he went through our train the trainer, and he was so excited. He said, I have planted so many churches, but I've done it wrong. He said, my goal was just to crank out more, more, more. So he was fire, 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 but half of them were failing, and they were struggling, and because he didn't have a strategic plan. So I think that preparation is really, really important in the process.
There's probably a bias amongst pastors. They're biased to vision, sort of that picture of the future. They live in the land of vision. Often, though, they have a really hard time with the planning part you're talking about, the strategy you're talking about. So how does a pastor who feels like they want to make the change, they want to become a multiplying church, they start getting that vision for it? Now, what's key or vital for them to actually move beyond living in the land of vision and doing something about it?
I think there's a few things. I've gone into a couple of locations, a couple of cities, and did a church plant assessment. And what we would do is we would gather a group of churches together, and we took them through a one-day process. And here's what we looked at, Todd, and then I'll answer your question a little more directly. But here's what we looked at. We spent the day, and I would put them in groups and just talk about the city. And the first thing I would do is say, okay, tell me about the history of church planting in your city. And each group would write up what they knew about the history of church planting in the city. Then I asked the question, what's the temperature of church planting in the city? Is it cold? Is it lukewarm? Is it hot? And we would talk about that. Then we'd say, what are the obstacles to church planting in your city? And they would build a list of obstacles. Then we would say, what are the opportunities for church planting? And we'd build a list of locations and people and things like that. Then we asked the question, what assets are there for church planting? And that was always an amazing question because they would just come up with this list of people, places, things, you know, things like that, that were a huge help in the overall church planting. Sixth, we would say, what's the vision for church planting? And then seven, what action steps do we need to take? So we'd spend a whole day working with a group of churches in a city answering those questions. Now, a pastor could do the same thing in his church and take those same seven factors and work their way through it just related to their church alone. And it could really help them come up with some good things. Now, I would say this. If they're really going to posture themselves to make a difference and really mobilize themselves to become a level five church, then they cannot have a defensive posture. They've got to be honest. They got to seek out the facts. They've got to have an egoless environment. And they need to tell their team that right up front. Guys, this is an egoless environment. We're going to be honest because we can't get movement unless we see truth. They really have to position themselves that way. Second thing I would say, Todd, is take advantage of the resources that are out there. Don't try to reinvent things yourself. I mean, you guys have done an incredible job at Exponential providing the Dream Big book, Dream Big Questions, the Dream Big Pathway that Will Mancini put together. It's got 24 tools. It gives a framework. The Dream Big Questions give a framework of questions that a pastor and a church could use to really build a culture of multiplication. And then the last thing I would say, you know, if you're really going to posture yourself to see a movement and see change happen, then get the right perspective, then do your planning. You got to have that right perspective and start from the right starting point, then do your planning, and just then you got to be patient, move forward with intentionality. I will tell you this: one of the things I love about church planters, and this is probably true of most pastors, one of the things I love about them is they are visionaries. But the thing that also drives everybody crazy about visionaries or about pastors that are visionaries, they're typically undisciplined with their vision. Pastors can tend to get excited about new things, and so the target can seem to change. And so I think we have to have very disciplined vision when it comes to church planting, because it's not something that happens fast. It's something that takes investment and time and patience.
You know, Mac, it's hitting me as you're saying that. I think about the metaphor to like the present day GPS, and I'll date myself a little bit. When I was a kid and we'd go on the family vacations, my dad had this stack of big maps under the seat. He'd pull out and, you know, if we were lost or having to figure out where we were going, you'd have this giant map. And there was no way around it. If you wanted to use an old map, you had to first figure out where you were on that map. Mm-hmm. Then you had to look at the point you wanted to get to, and then you'd plot out a journey to get there. What I hear you saying in the advice you just gave is we can't just be the visionary that opens up the present day GPS and says, you know, put in the address. I want to get to such and such address and get there. It's not going to work that way. We have to do the hard work of understanding where we are first. What's our context and how do we get to where we already are? What are the things that are holding us back? What are the things defining our culture? But we've got to get our hands around, you know, it's in the mall. It's that thing on the map that says, you are here. You know, yeah. We've got to get that, you are here. Then we need to really look, and this is where pastors excel, and you're pointing out, the vision of where they want to be. We got to create a vision of where they want to take their church. Mm-hmm. And what I hear you saying is closing the gap or the strategy to get from where you are, where you need to be, get help. There's, you know, the work that you do at the North American Mission Board, even the leadership pipeline you put together. I mean, churches that are really handling the change management in a good way these days use a process. They use tools. They follow a disciplined process of tools that will get them from where they are to where they want to be. And you're saying don't skip that. There's plenty of things out there to help.
Oh, yeah, because systems and tools are absolutely crucial. And you're really not going to get any movement unless you have a solid system that you're utilizing.
Yeah. Well, Mac, I want to thank you for being with us today. We're coming up on another season of Dream Big events here in the fall. We've got 5 fall events. They play right off the books that you mentioned, 3 free books, the free Dream Big Plan Smart book that we're talking about on this podcast. And then there's 2 supplementary resources, Dream Big Questions, which is a full book. It's a roadmap to help pastors lead their teams through these steps we're talking about. And then Will Mancini worked with us, as you mentioned, to put together an actual set of tools to help people apply those questions and move them through. So I would just encourage people via exponential.org to take advantage of those free resources. We'll post those on the webpage too. And thanks a lot for being with us today, Mac. It's always great to talk with you.
It's good to be with you, Tom.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Exponential Podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in. If you're interested in learning more about multiplication and how you can lead your church into the future, we're making it easy for you. We're bringing an exponential event to a town near you. Join us at one of our 5 fall events on our tour for Dream Big. Join us in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, or Houston. We're bringing an event to you to help equip you and your team. Don't miss out on attending one of these convenient and affordable events. Visit register.exponential.org to learn more.